In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is, in some ways, curious because it happened, it's given to us at the seventh chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And when we look at the gospel and try to understand what's going on, it really is a gospel that already anticipates the death of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and of course the death and resurrection. And it begins, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And clearly this Pharisee, these were very strict and jealous adherents to the laws of the Old Testament. And so the Pharisee knew that Jesus was being received, and that he had already become very well noticed, and you might say had fame. And the Pharisee came to challenge him. And it says, "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask full of oil." And of course, here the Pharisee, who's very, very strict in all of his thinking and all of his ways, would immediately disapprove of a sinful woman entering into their company. And the woman stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And I think this is where we see already woven into the gospel very early on that this is anticipating the death of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's anticipating the myrrh-bearing women who brought ointment and spices and so on and fragrant oils to our Lord at the time of his burial. And it says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And I think that the Pharisee actually, he's there, and he's in the context of our Lord's life. And they were, of course, a real group. They actually were the most prominent group of Jews at the time. But he's there because he actually, to some degree, represents a very fallen part of our own nature. I am sure that we have had times when we looked at people and thought, "Wow, what is he doing with that person?" And so that we have deeply rooted in our own pride and self-righteousness, the capacity for condemnation. And so this is here for us to look upon and say, how would I be? Would I be like the Pharisee? Or would I be perhaps like our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And of course, his implication is that he would have nothing to do with the man, which is our Lord. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So we have this remarkable comparison of, between this, the sinful woman and the righteous or self-righteous Simon. And our Savior sees in this sinful woman a repentance. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So I think that what's juxtaposed here is in the previous verse he says, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then the last statement, which concerns the actions of the woman and her interior attitudes, is your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There is a relationship between love and faith. If we love our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, our faith is expanded exponentially. It continues to expand. And so it is. This is almost as there's two sides of the same coin, that love of God and faith in our Lord complement one another, and they sustain us. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day, we always have to examine ourselves. Are we the righteous one? Are we the one that judges? Are we the one that looks at different situations and different people and their circumstances and have scorn toward them or turn away from them? Or are we that person who with the faith that we've been given and the love we have been given, at least and casting upon these people in need the spirit, the love that we have, radiating that love that God has given us and that he has shown us, and casting that love, radiating that love upon those who are obviously in weakness and in torment. And on this day, we examine ourselves. We always need to examine ourselves and to see where we stand and where we are in our love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if we love him, then our faith will become very, very strong. The two are very connected. And may we on this day consider whether we do love our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the ways of doing that is we have to look at what is important to us. You know, what are the most important things? Do we spend time reading the Gospels? Do we spend time dwelling upon the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to sink deeply within our hearts and our minds to sanctify us and to purify us? For even as he loved the sinful woman, so he looks into our hearts, and if we open our hearts to him, then he heals us, and he sanctifies us, and purifies us. And so we need always to think, what is our disposition toward our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? And it's not only our disposition, what are our actions? And the great miracle of our Holy Church is that the church is the body of Christ. And you might say, well, a church, we're not talking about the wood and the plaster and the windows and the floors and the ceilings. We're talking about the congregation, those who gather together in faith and worship. And so the church, that is, all of us together worshiping our Lord, we are the body of Christ. And he works through us, even in our profoundly fallen state. He is here. And I think it's amazing that when we reflect on our own lives, I think we'd all like to have everything that we ever did that was, you know, blasphemous or wrong or evil or wayward or however you want to put it. We'd like it to go away. You know, we just like it to go away. But the thing is, it seems to me that it doesn't just go away. And we have, you might say, in the back of our mind, and it really does feel like it's in the back of our mind, the remembrance of so many things that were wrong and that were not, which we participated in, or things that we thought. And in a sense, I think it's necessary. If our Lord did not allow us to be able to remember those things in our past that were filled with darkness, we would not turn around toward him and seek the light. And, you know, when there may be times when we've been in situations where we're outside and it's very dark, and what do when you see a light? You go toward it. The light draws you toward it. And if you didn't have the experience of the darkness, you would not act and be compelled to go toward the light. And as you enter the light, of course, the truth is revealed. The truth of who we are and with regard to God, and who we are with regard to our brothers and sisters and our children and those whom we are related to and bound to by the Holy Church in its life. And so on this day, of course, we need to once again reaffirm and confirm, as it were, our love for our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and our faith in him, knowing that if we do this, he will wash away, as it were, at the proper time, he'll wash away all that is of the past and nullify it and give us life eternal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.